Hey there, welcome to the Shannon Roberts Podcast. It has indeed been a while since I have shared anything in the podcast world, but I have this message on my heart that I want to get out and share. In an attempt at and in the honor of being real, open, authentic, and just raw, this is going to be unedited, uncut. You might hear a dog bark. You might hear me breathing. It won't be the sanitized version that you may have grown accustomed to hearing in the past when I started this out. I have learned quickly that there's a lot going on in life. And you know what? Life is real. It is open. It is authentic, and it can be very raw sometimes, and especially when we find ourselves in seasons where we don't necessarily understand what God is doing. We don't understand why things are blowing up. It could be relationships that have gone awry. It could be children just going in different directions or getting ready to go in a new way that you aren't really prepared for. It could be a variety of things. But the last thing we need as women, as sisters in Christ, as daughters of God, is to keep putting this facade out there. And I am really, really trying to just be real with myself, with my family, and just more importantly, with God. And so I'm hoping that translates into communication. See right there, I want to edit that part out, but I'm not going to. But I pray that translates into communications moving forward, because I have discovered and found that when we boldly step out and do something, that it gives others the permission to do the same. So I pray that this podcast is not only educational, inspirational, informative, and somewhat instructive, but that it certainly gives you permission to be who you are in Christ right now, today. We certainly have in a Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook world, we have enough polished images, we have enough polished recordings, we have enough posing going on. It's time to just be real, open, authentic, and raw with one another. And is that uncomfortable? Yeah, because guess what? I think that the human nature absolutely doesn't like things to be messy. It doesn't like things to be unkempt. And in many regards, it might not be human nature. It could be conditioning. Because as we grow up, whether family members who are extremely strict or we had strict teachers in elementary school, we find this way where things have to be compartmentalized. We have to have a structure. We have to have agenda. So much so to the point that everything is completely perfect. Every hour of the day is completely filled with something, and we're just constantly trying to go towards this image of perfection that some other person somewhere else has said is perfect, which is just crazy to me, because the only perfect being ever was Jesus Christ, and he is who we are aspiring to be. And when we look at him as our standard, we all fall short of the glory of God, and we are all the same and equal at the foot of the cross. So that's not my message. That was mini message number one. My message actually starts in Acts chapter 9, verses 36 through 43. So we're going to read that today. It's about a woman named Dorcas. How odd is that? Like, I have never really honed in on this scripture, on this passage, until the past couple of weeks. And this came to mind. We are transitioning in the Beyond study. We're transitioning to the essentials. So we started out in December with centering our lives around love and loving God and loving others, and then centering our lives on Christ, him being at the center of our life. So in January, we focused on scripture. February, we focused on prayer. March, we focused on the Holy Spirit, and I was very, very adamant that this walk, ladies, is impossible without the Holy Spirit. Two things I want to mention here. One, yes, at salvation, we received the Holy Spirit. There is a baptism of the Holy Spirit, and if you want to learn more, read more about that, remind yourself, check out Acts chapter 2. I won't go any further on that, but Christ died, rose again, ascended to heaven so the Holy Spirit could come, because he teaches, he comforts, he leads, he guides, he speaks to our hearts. And so this walk is impossible to please the Lord without faith and following Holy Spirit in faith. So from there, we transition to the fourth area, which was in April, is our calling. We all have a call on our lives. Each and every single person born has a call. The Lord knew us before we were formed in our mother's womb. We have a call on our lives. Whether we believe that or not is one thing. Whether that's been spoken to in our lives since we were little, to teenagers, to young adults, to old people now, that's quite another thing. But we all have a call. And the enemy has been trying desperately for some of us since we were born to not only take our lives, but to hinder our vision and our ability to grasp that God has something for us by causing confusion, causing hurt, causing bitterness, hurting us through abuse of people we trust, hurting ourselves after we've been hurt because the pain was just too much. He's done so much to try to stifle and confuse us, but we do have a calling, and that calling may not look like being a published speaker, or it might not be having some grand stage church or something to that effect. Your call might be right where you are as a wife, or as a mother, or as a caretaker in a nursing home, or a teacher, or a firefighter, or whatever you sense God is calling you to. So we discussed that a little bit. And now we're transitioning into the essentials, which we'll cover the next 3 months. And the essentials are making sure that we're nourishing our bodies, making sure that we're moving our bodies, and yes, making sure we are resting our bodies, which that sort of goes back to the introduction. That rest word seems almost like a cuss word. It's like nobody knows how to rest anymore. Everybody wants to keep going, and everybody's doing, and there is a event every single night of the week, and when you do want to rest on Sunday, you feel like you got to clean and go get groceries, and you have to make sure that everything is in order, and you're planning and preparing for the next week, and for those who don't do that, they feel guilty, so then they fall into condemnation. You get my point, right? It is this constant, nonstop thing. But anyway, the focus of this message is, again, on this gal named Dorcas, and I'm going to read scripture, Acts chapter 9, verse 36 through 43. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. Okay, so I was saying Dorcas, but you could also call her Tabitha. You know, you can get that attention getter right there with Dorcas because it's different. This woman was full of good works and almsgiving. In those days, she became ill and died. And when they had washed her, they placed her in an upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, these are places, the disciples, hearing that Peter was there, sent two men to him, pleading, "Do not delay. Come to us." Peter rose up and went with them. When he arrived, they led him into the upper room. All the widows stood by him, weeping and showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. Okay, not necessarily attention grabber. They repeated it again. Peter put them all outside and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." She opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. It became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. He remained in Joppa for many days with Simon, a tanner. So, I'm reading from the Modern English Version, which has been a transition for me. I used to read from New Living Translation, and I'm really transitioning into this new version because I found that some versions do not keep and retain all the scripture, and that kind of gets to me. So I've found this version that maintains the integrity of all scripture and whatnot. So anyway, reading from Modern English Version. So we're going to break this down a little bit. Back to verse 36. Now there was Joppa a certain disciple, I have that underlined, named Tabitha, underlined, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full, all right? So in brackets, I've added, she's filled up, covered in every part. She's lacking nothing. She is perfect, end bracket, of good works and alms deeds. Okay, so what's alms deeds? That sounds like a New King James Version word. It means giving mercy, charity, which is also known as love, donations to the poor, which she did. So Tabitha is a follower of Jesus because of the disciple word that we read. Dorcas, or Tabitha, equals a female gazelle. You might be like, what? Female gazelle? It's kind of what I was doing. So I looked up gazelles, and I discovered that gazelles are lean, agile, and strong with permanent horns. A gazelle can outrun a cheetah if she spots the predator in time, by weaving and cutting back to force the cheetah to break its sprint. Gazelles are highly alert and sensitive to the presence of predators. They are constantly on the lookout and rely heavily on their eyesight. So let's break this down even more. If Dorcas was a reflection of the name's meaning, she may have possessed the following physical and cognitive characteristics. 1. She might not have any unessential fat, physical or spiritual. So we all know what physical fat looks like. We know if we have a little extra around the middle, a little extra on the sides, or a little chicken skin under the arms. We know what that looks like. But what does spiritual fat look like? If you've ever heard me talk or met with me at Beyond at Bruja, or even been part of the Rise Up community gatherings, you've heard me say we become a little spiritually chubby sometimes. And I know that's somewhat giggly and it can cause a chuckle. Or it can cause an eye roll. I've seen that too. but what I'm talking about is that we are constantly consuming. I'm going to constantly consume. I'm going to listen to this podcast. I'm going to read this article. I'm going to thumb through all the Instagram photos that have scripture and like everything and give the praise Jesus hands to everything. We can like collect. However, just like when food goes into the body to do two things, it's either to fuel us so we can keep going, or is to repair and restore us after exertion, the same is true for scripture and consuming the word of God or truths from God. We can get so much in us, but if we don't apply it, if we don't live it out, if we don't do anything with it, we can become what I call spiritually fat. Well, we see here, Dorcas, aka Tabitha, did not have that. If her physical qualities and characteristics were a reflection of her name, which is a gazelle. All right, the next point, point two. Dorcas was quite possible able to move quickly and easily. That speaks to me of just moving fluidly and flowing with the Holy Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit says something, she doesn't have to pray about it for 4 days and receive confirmation. She moves when the Lord causes her to move, and she goes quickly and she goes easily. All right, so I told you the dog might bark. I am not going to edit this out. Oh, great. Now we have everybody barking. Yoo-hoo! So this speaks to me of being able to move quickly and easily with the Holy Spirit. Third point, perhaps Dorcas was able to perform a specified action well and powerfully. We can do something well and it can lack power, which is speaking to me of being impotent, not being able to really have the impact that it was intended to have. We can do it and execute it well, but if it lacks the power behind it, especially the power of the Holy Spirit anointing, then it can be well and it can just be like, okay, that was nice. Or we can do something not so well and be powerful and we can seem like a bull in a china shop where we're doing something and it's with all our might or all the Spirit's might, but it's not necessarily in this construct of Holy Spirit divine excellence, if that makes sense. Perhaps Dorcas was able to perform a particular type of action quickly. Again, this speaks to me of being malleable, again, being able to flow and to be fluid and to just change course of direction if need be, even if we don't understand it. A fifth quality that Dorcas might have had was being able to notice any unusual and potentially dangerous or difficult circumstances. Can we just say discernment here? It is so important for us to have discernment and to be able to discern what is God and what is not. What is God and what is the enemy? What is God and what is our flesh? It is so important. And perhaps Dorcas, aka Tabitha, possessed this quality as well. A sixth point here, quick to detect or respond to slight changes, signals, or influences. Again, adaptability, able to change course, able to go and not doubt God, not doubt your ability to hear God, not doubt the course or direction that he's calling you to, just do it. And that can be challenging whenever we like to plan or we like to premeditate or we like to have a plan and we're executing and then suddenly the plan changes or, you know, we have to take a detour or take this exit when we didn't plan it because there's an accident up ahead on the road. You get my point. Perhaps, finally, Dorcas had this ability to see, that she was able to trust and depend on the vision that she had from God. Because again, a characteristic of a gazelle is that they rely heavily on their eyesight. So when I read this characteristic of a gazelle, which could also translate to the characteristic of Dorcas, it reminded me of a verse in Proverbs 29, verse 18. My people die for lack of vision. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keeps the law, happy is he. Again, that's Proverbs 29, verse 18. We need vision from God. And if you've participated in the Rise Up Commitment, you know that we get to that point on our journey because it is so important for us to have a vision from God. If you've been in corporate America or maybe even in the education world now, I think it's probably trickled down a little bit. They talk about having a vision and casting a vision, and we all have the ability to create this vision, but it's not all the time what God would have us envision. It's not necessarily what He would like our lives to be about and for. And so it's important to be pressing in and understanding that He gives vision, and that this proverb says right here, people die for lack of vision. And so I just think that it's interesting and unique, and for us to note that Dorcas, who was this lady that had died and we read rose again from the dead, that she could have very well been relying on such a vision. So I want to keep moving on. Gazelles also possess a unique ability to do what is called stotting. S-T as in Tom, O-T-T-I-N-G. So stotting is when a gazelle springs into the air, lifting all 4 feet off the ground simultaneously. So I know you can't see me, but just imagine like somebody just like, you know, like you go straight up in the air and all your like limbs are straight down. Looks very awkward for a human. But if you watch a video, you'll see what I'm talking about. Just Google gazelle stotting. You'll see it. Usually, the legs are held in a relatively stiff position and the back may be arched with the head pointing downward. When a gazelle begins stotting, she is saying, I've seen you, but just look how agile and fit I am. She's strutting her stuff. I can outrun you, so don't bother chasing me. I love that. I love that it says, don't bother chasing me. It's like saying to the enemy, you can come at me, but guess what? You shouldn't bother because it's not going to do you any good. Perhaps Dorcas had the same mindset because of her faith and her confidence in who she was in Christ. Stotting, or jumping upwards of 6.5 feet in the air. Can you believe that? Makes me think of my daughter's dog. She has a boxer, and this tiny little thing can jump so high. I never thought that dogs could jump so high, but I envision her doing that. So anyway, stotting or jumping upwards of 6.5 feet in the air helps gazelles rise up above their prey and overcome them. They give no thought to their foe because they know they can go. A lot of poetry right there. Hope you like that. All right, so let's look into verse 37. Let's break that down a little bit. It came to pass in those days that she was sick. So she is again Dorcas or Tabitha, and died. Whom when they had washed, they had laid her in the upper room. She was laid in an upper room, or the highest part of the house, the upper room or story where the women resided. Now that comes from the Strong's Concordance. The upper room here is a similar place mentioned in Acts 1, verse 13. Just an interesting factoid to note, because if you're familiar with Acts 1, you know that that's where the disciples waited as an instruction from Jesus in the upper room, and then the Holy Spirit came in, and then they began to speak with tongues of fire. Just put that in your pocket. And verse 38, and forasmuch as Lydda, which means strife, was nigh to Joppa, which means beautiful, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there. So Peter is in a place called Strife. The ladies are in a place called Beautiful. I just find that interesting. They sent to him 2 men, desiring that he would not delay to come to them. So Peter is in this place of perhaps striving or strife or discord, and he might be fending off things in the spirit realm, or, you know, maybe working on just ministry that the Holy Spirit is leading him to work through. And the ladies are in this place called Beautiful, even though their friend, their close disciple friend, had just died. I just see irony there in just the nuances of this scripture and the language here. So then verse 39, then Peter arose. He chose to rise, and he went with them. When he was come, they brought him unto the upper room. So Peter had been in an upper room before, I just asked you to put this in your pocket, where he experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This upper room was located in Jerusalem, which meant double, or means double, peace. Peter, baptized by the Holy Spirit in an upper room in the place of peace, was found in a place called strife. Isn't that interesting? That he was baptized by the Holy Spirit in a place called peace and ends up taking that same Holy Spirit to a place called strife, which is like the opposite of peace. And then he was led away to a place called beautiful, where death had come to a strong, perfect, giving woman, which death seems the opposite of beautiful as well. So we're seeing some juxtaposition here. Other women wanted Peter to come visit. So I was asking the question, did they call for Peter for comfort, or were they hopeful Peter and the Holy Spirit within him were able to perform the miracle received? Because we recall, as we read the passage through, was that she does rise from the dead. Did they have faith calling Peter away from a place of strife would usher in the same living, giving, or life-giving Holy Spirit in the dead yet beautiful place that was found in the place of double peace? So again, I want to point to scripture. It says, all the widows stood by him, who is Peter, weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. First thing to note, the women were weeping. They were sad and lamenting at the death of Dorcas. This woman, many other women could have justified being jealous of or minimizing themselves around due to her being filled up, covered in every part, lacking nothing, being perfect, doing good works, and extending mercy, love, and donations to the poor. She was not seemingly viewed as a threat. What could have been the reason? Scripture says she made coats and garments. Coat here is an undergarment or a tunic worn close to the skin. Garments here are the cloak or mantle or the upper garment. So Dorcas, the strong, sensitive, alert, and giving woman, she made and provided a covering for the sensitive and sometimes embarrassing and vulnerable places, rather than living as a woman who chose to expose the susceptible, weak, and compromised places of those around her. So I just want to pause there and encourage us to ask ourselves, how many women do we know who are willing to cover the weaknesses, cover the vulnerable places of our sister in Christ? Or are we quick to expose them just because we want people to know, oh, she's not that perfect. See, she's not that good. See, she's not that right. You really need to get her off that pedestal because we'll see there's something wrong with her. That's not what Dorcas was doing. This woman, Dorcas, knew the value of looking after and covering others, especially the women she interacted with. No doubt, scripture like Isaiah 58, verse 7, Ezekiel 18, verse 7, Ezekiel 18, verse 16, Luke 3:11, and Matthew 25, 36 were such an intertwined fiber in the fabric of her being, she simply lived out God's desire and will, and others saw God in her because of it. So let's read through those scripture. Isaiah 58, verse 7. Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry and bring the poor who are outcasts into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh? Ezekiel 18, 7. And he has not oppressed anyone, but has restored to the debtor his pledge. He has devastated no one by violence, has given his bread to the hungry, and has covered the naked with a garment. Ezekiel 18:16, nor has he oppressed anyone, has not withheld a ledge, nor has he devastated by violence, but has given his bread to the hungry and has covered the naked with a garment. Luke 3:11, John answered, he who has two tunics, let him give to him who has none, and he who has food, let him do likewise. Matthew 25:36, I was naked and you clothed me. This is red letter Jesus talking, okay? I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. There is something important about covering, about creating a covering. The Lord provided a covering for Adam and Eve in the garden when they realized that they were naked after the fall. He provided covering then. He provided for the children of Israel when they put a covering over the doorpost so that the angel of death would not come into their home. He provides a covering in us as we are in Jesus and Jesus in us. I mean, what what more perfect covering can you get than having Jesus be our coverings, because we are in him and he is in us? I mean, it's just so important, this covering is. So what did Dorcas's testimony lead to? Verse 38, the disciples had heard that Peter was there. They sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. She was so highly regarded, folks sent after Peter to have him come to where she had been laid to rest. Was there something in the disciples that believed Dorcas needed to stick around? Did her life and the way she lived speak so loudly of love, mercy, charity, of mercy and charity that death had to be hushed by reversing through bringing her back to life, just as Lazarus and Jesus? Verse 40, Peter put them all forth. He had them leave the room and kneeled down and prayed. And turning him to the body said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and we had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. The same spirit and power that rose Jesus from the grave lived in and baptized Peter, causing him to live in the same power as when Jesus walked the earth. He was empowered to, like Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, speak to Dorcas and raise her to life again. See Romans 8:11 and John 11:38 through 44. Actually, let's go ahead and read Romans 8, verse 11. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit that lives in you. And John 11, verse 43. When he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. He who was dead came out, his hands and feet wrapped with grave cloth, and his face wrapped with a cloth. What was the result of the faithfulness of both Dorcas and Peter? It was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Check out verse 42. Many believed in the Lord. We see this many times in the Old Testament as well. Rahab saw what the Lord had done, and she was a harlot. She was a prostitute, right? She saw what the Lord had done, and she confessed that the Lord your God is the God of heaven above and earth below. See Joshua 2 for that. And she was exempt from destruction. Also, an ungodly king in the book of Daniel declared, truly, your God is the greatest of gods, the Lord over kings, a revealer of mysteries, for you have been able to reveal his secret. See Daniel 2, verse 47. The psalmist declared, many will see and trust in the Lord, in Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3. Others believed in the Lord in the New Testament as well. Many believed in Jesus after the religious sought to stone him. He escaped them and went to the place where John had been baptizing. See John 10. How can we forget the testimony of the Samaritan woman and her encounter with Jesus? Because of her encounter and her stint evangelizing, so she was a female evangelist, Samaritans from the town believed in him, him being Jesus Christ, because of the woman's testimony. Like Dorcas and many before her, our lives and the way we live should cause others to see and be amazed, offering them the opportunity, key word, an opportunity there, to believe or not believe, receive salvation or reject it. The fact and reality is, folks, that our lives can be this demonstration of listening to the Holy Spirit and following after Jesus, and the people around us, the people we interact with, will still doubt and may reject. They may still have a problem with where we are in Christ relative to where they are. Sometimes the same sun that softens an element will harden an element. We don't have control over that. And because God is such a good God that he's not this master puppeteer in the sky controlling our every move. He gives us free will, and he gives us free will to choose if we will become soft to his will and his ways, or hardened to his will and his ways. But again, us living a life that is a reflection of Jesus Christ and an opportunity for God's glory to fill our part of the earth is an opportunity for folks to be able to choose whether they will believe and receive. So as we transition into the essentials part of beyond, or the area of tending the needs of the physical vessel Holy Spirit resides in order to live out the vision or calling he has called us to live for the sake of others, we will focus on nutrition, fitness, and rest. These three components are critical for being lean and strong, alert and sensitive, able to shift and adapt, and also to defend and protect. And I'm not just talking about in the physical sense. I'm talking about in the spiritual sense. I'm talking about being strong emotionally. I'm talking about being strong mentally. I'm talking about being mentally alert and sensitive, spiritually alert and sensitive. Because as many of you have discovered, when you move forward and towards what God has for you, all hell wants to start coming at you. And the next thing you know, relationships are going crazy. Things are happening that you didn't expect. Or your flesh starts fighting and it wants to resort to those bad habits that you've had in your life for 20 years, and everything inside you is just craving what you don't want anymore, but you have this physiological addiction in the body and brain, and so we have to take time to sift through those things and to become emotionally and spiritually alert and sensitive. So with first solidifying the emphasis and focus on God at our center through love, scripture, prayer, and Holy Spirit, and then understanding and embracing His call on our lives in the season of place we find ourselves. We see it as not selfish to take care of ourselves, to take care of this body, to take care of this vessel that Holy Spirit lives in. In fact, in Christ, we have chosen to lose ourself and may now surrender more fully to Jesus operating in our lives through the power of Holy Spirit, within a vessel disciplined to rest, be nurtured, and move. It may take time to prune the thought pattern from our minds that this is selfish. But then again, God is fully able and willing to renew our mind in an instant to embrace the fact that His vessel, known as our body, needs to be strong, healthy, and alert, like Dorcas. And like Dorcas, it is not so we can look and feel a certain way, or even have a specific number on the scale or caliper, but to be given for the sake of others, given in a way that if we were gone, Jesus' legacy through our lives would overshadow our death. Or, perhaps, others would pray to have us raised back to life again. I pray this is an encouragement to you to focus on nourishing your body, to exercising and moving, and to resting as the Lord leads you to do. I pray that as we move into Good Friday, that we are reminded of the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and then His ascension and the Holy Spirit coming to live and dwell within each of us. The Lord is a God of resurrection. He is a God of life-giving. So if today you are wrestling with a part of your body that seems dead and not working right, I want to pray for you and have faith that God can restore that place in your life. If you are in a relationship, a marriage that might feel dead or is dying, I want to encourage you to trust and have faith that the Lord can revive that, and He will show you the next step in bringing healing and restoration in that place. If you are experiencing brokenness and estrangement and with your adult kids or maybe even your young kids, I pray that you would know that God is able and willing to restore that relationship and bring vitality back. If you are estranged from parents or siblings or family or just experiencing any other kind of turmoil, I want to encourage you to trust and have faith that the Lord can restore and revive. That being said, I would love to close in prayer. So, Father God, I just thank You for this word. I thank You for this time. I thank You for this moment, Lord. I ask in the name of Jesus that as we enter into Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday, that we would have Your Son in mind, that Jesus, You are on the forefront of our minds, and we are moving and operating in the same power that You did as You walked this earth, and we are able to bring back to life again those things that appear dead, whether physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual. Lord, help us to do this. Father God, help us to take care of the vessel that You live in, that Your Holy Spirit lives in. Help us to nourish it with the right food. Help us to move it with the appropriate exercise. Help us to rest it, Lord, and find rest in You, and mentally and emotionally and spiritually, but then also rest physically, Lord. Lord God, I ask in the name of Jesus, You would help us to trim away any unessential fat, physical or spiritual. Lord, help us to take what we're taking in and use it to expend in energy, Lord, or to build muscle, Lord, spiritual and physical muscle. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that we are agile, we are able to move quickly and easily as Your Spirit leads, and be able to respond as we need to and not take days to draw things out. Lord, I ask that we would be able to perform a specific action well and powerfully, Lord. Help us to execute well and to do it with Holy Spirit power, because your word says, not by might, not by strength, but by your power, says the Lord. My power, says the Lord. My spirit, says the Lord. So, Father God, I ask that you would give us that power of your spirit and cause us to do it with excellence and do things well. Father, I ask that you would help us to perform a particular type of action quickly. Again, have us be agile, Lord God. Help us to be responsive, Lord. And Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would help us to be able to detect any unusual or potentially dangerous things. Lord, help us to see in the spirit realm. Help us to see the powers and principalities of darkness, Lord. Help us to not shy away from it or view it as hokey or view it as not real, which can be the case, Lord God. Help us to take it in and go head on to confront it, Lord, rather than try to stay comfortable, Lord. Father God, I ask that you would help us to respond to slight changes in signals or influences, Lord. Help us to know when you need us to change course, moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day, week by week, month by month. Lord, help us to just be so in tune with you. We see the signal and we go when you need us to go. And Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would help us to see the way you need us to see, that we would have your vision for our lives, for our relationships, for the calling that you have for us, Lord, that you would help us to see that this is not about us. It is about you and it's about others. It's about loving you and loving others. Help us to do that well and give us the vision, Lord, that we need to get to that next place and to be content right where we are, but also to yearn and strive for more. And Father, God, where people are experiencing strife, where they find themselves in a place of strife, and even if they're filled with the Holy Spirit, Lord God, I pray that you would call them out of that place of strife and that you would call them into places of peace and to places of beauty, Lord God. Even if it seems juxtaposed, even if it seems oppositional, Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus that you, by your Spirit, would call people out of that place or give them peace and beauty amidst the strife, because you are able to do that, Lord God. I just think of Daniel again and how he was in the fire. That was a place of strife. That's a place of contention. So, Father God, again, I just ask in the name of Jesus that this word goes wherever it needs to go, that it spreads like wildfire. I know this is from you, so this will remain. And God, I ask in the name of Jesus that your word always stands firm and remains, and cause us to stand firm and remain, Lord, steadfast wherever the wind blows, where the fire comes, where the pressing comes, Lord, where the challenges come at us. God, I thank you and praise you again for the life that you give each and every one of us who choose to believe. And Father God, I pray this word will soften hearts to you rather than harden hearts to you, Lord, and that will get them one step closer to receiving you fully in their lives and surrendering. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.